Coming up next, I'll walk you through the pros and cons of in-person and remote work. And then there's some whiplash going on with the vaccine mandate and employers. And of course, we're going to take your calls, and it starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and win in your life. You were created to contribute, and we want you to start looking at work as something that allows you to not just make money, but to experience tremendous meaning, because you're making a unique contribution to the world through your work. The income is there, and the impact is there. I want to help you figure out what that is. It's multiple opportunities. We define the dream job simply as a job that allows you to spend most of your day using what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, your passion, to produce results that matter deeply to you, your mission. When talent, passion, and mission are in alignment, it is a dream job, because you are going to perform at an unbelievable level. People will see that you were born for that work. They will marvel at your output. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. It is a caller-driven show where I am your counselor, coach, and cheerleader. All in one call. 844-747-2577. Okay, so remote work is not a new concept, but it obviously exploded in that most of the country was doing remote work for at least the first two, we'll call it the second and third quarter of 2020. And so now we've seen a lot of people going, I enjoyed remote work so much. It was such a lifestyle change. I'm not willing to go back in the office. Well, we also have leaders going, hey, we tried remote work. We made it work. We think that we need a hybrid model where you're in the office some and remote some. And some companies are going, you know what? Remote work isn't right for us and our company, so we want everybody back. And so people are having to choose. And I think this could be in front of many of you who are watching today. So what I want to do is just walk through a real basic. If you think about grandma and your parents, at some point in your life, you had a big decision. You sat down on a piece of paper and you said, we're going to go pros and cons. It still works. It's a wonderfully clarifying process. So I'm going to help you and walk you through that. But let's just look at some data quickly. This is from findstack.com. New data from 2021. 16% of companies in the world are 100% remote. That's a staggering number. 16% of all companies around the globe are 100% remote. 66% of companies allow remote or hybrid work. 85% of managers believe that having teams with remote workers will become the new norm. All right, so let's start with in-person work in the office. Let's go through some pros and cons, if you will. And we're going to have some fun with this. We're going to go with the good, the bad, the ugly. All right. So here's the good about in-person work. You're working closely with other individuals and your team. There's a real connection there. And as a result of that connection, there's better communication and better collaboration. Now, I'm not in any way saying that you cannot communicate well in a remote job. I'm not saying that you can't collaborate, but I am saying I believe that it's better and exponentially better in person. Communication in person, when I can see them, I can see the whole room, I can read everybody, I can feel the energy. And so communication and collaboration to me are undoubtedly better in person. All right, let's go to the bad of in person. There is obviously horrible leaders out there. There are toxic work environments. If you're dealing with difficult people and you have to interact with them on a daily basis, that leads to a lot of stress. And then let's talk about the commute. Whoa. For some people, your daily commute could cost you as much as $7,000 a year. So that's the bad. All right, now here's the ugly of in-person work. You got to deal with annoying people. How about Larry the Loser? The guy just is a tornado of negativity. He's a gossip. He's always talking about what's going wrong with him in the world. You say, how you doing, Larry, in the hallway? And you just mean, hey, what's up? He tells you, well, I've got gout on two toes now. Hey, too much information, Larry. Hey, in person dealing with the Larrys of the world, the losers, it's not fun. All right, let's talk about remote work. What's the good? Flexible schedule. Less employee interruptions. You're locked in, you're focused, deep work, you know, no one's bothering you. That's a good thing. And no commute. Wow. I mean, that's a big deal. It's a huge deal. So that's something to think about. You know, I get that. So there, you know, something to think about there. The bad. Well, the work and home life barrier is completely shattered. You're not getting to take part of the good in a healthy culture. And then distractions galore. How many videos did we see surface that went viral of somebody doing a Zoom call and the kid walks in slinging a dirty diaper over their head like it's a lasso, or, you know, cooing and bringing in toys and bothering the parent, you know. One that was really amazing is the guy that in the Zoom, he had his camera tilted a little too much and he had a work shirt on, but he was sitting in his boxer briefs. You know, nobody wants to see that part of your thigh, guys. Nobody. I got news for you. Nobody wants to see that. So, you know, there is that, right? So that's the bad. How about the ugly? Remote workers are less likely to get promoted. Data reported in Wired magazine that companies are reporting that work-from-home employees are 50% less productive than an office employee. So I know there'll be a lot of heated debate over that. But this data out here says, and this is from Yahoo, I tend to believe this, because think about any more distractions you have. You're sitting at your desk at home, and you realize that your energy's low. You realize you got a hankering. You realize there's a gallon of ice cream 14 steps away. What's stopping you from taking 5 minutes to get the ice cream, and then you're checking social media while you eat the ice cream? You look up and you've lost 25 or 30 minutes all because you could go get ice cream. You're in the office. There's no gallon of ice cream in the fridge. I believe that'd be shameful, wouldn't it? What if I brought a gallon of ice cream to the office? Like, Ken, what are you doing? I mean, we have refrigerators down here at Ramsey Solutions. I could put a gallon of ice cream down there and, you know, get myself a bowl of ice cream at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What are the chances of that happening? Well, what are the chances of me getting a gallon of ice cream and then sitting openly at my desk and, you know, spending 20 minutes on Facebook? I'm going to tell you, we have an open office plan here. Alex walks up on me all the time. I don't even know he's there. He's like a hologram. Next thing I know, he's there. Well, I'm not going to be just sitting on Facebook scrolling for 20 minutes. There's some accountability. And so one of the ugly parts is that you just can completely lose track of time and your productivity absolutely tanks. So that's a quick snapshot. And I think you have to, why do I share the good, the bad, the ugly about in-person and remote? Because you have to ultimately determine not what it is that I want, but what is best for me. I mean, I could want to work at home in my pajamas. I can just tell you right now, that's not best for me the way I'm wired. I could want to work remote, but I'm going to tell you, it's not best for me. I need the energy. I need the collaborative realities that being in the office provides. So be mature, be an adult, and walk through the good, the bad, the ugly about both and decide what's the best format, the best environment for you to thrive, to do the work that you were created to do. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming up right around the corner. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. It shouldn't be separate endeavors. You were created to contribute through your work. There is meaning, along with money. We want to help you get a whole bunch of both. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. We're teaching, we're coaching, we're counseling, providing you resources like the best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose, which unpacks the seven stages that will allow you to discover and do the work that you were created to do, and along the way, make the money and experience the meaning that you desire, income and impact. We have the Get Clear Career Assessment that'll really help you in that first stage of the seven stages. Get clear. What are the opportunities out there for me? What does a dream job look like for me? What is my professional purpose? You get a purpose statement, which allows you to then have a compass and a filter all in one statement. Those resources can be bundled together at kencoleman.com. So we can help. Let's get to the phones. Abby joins us in Altura, Minnesota. Abby, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
I have a 16-year-old son just kind of struggling to choose a career path. Mm-hmm. He's a junior in high school right now. Very smart, but hates school. Can't really stand the thought of 4 more years. So I think with him, it's the fear of the wrong decision. It's the fear of wasting time and money. So we kind of are directing him maybe more towards trades. We just need help. We need more information. We've done every career quiz, website we can think of. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are.
Okay, great. Well, a couple things. He's 16.
Yep.
So there are very few 16-year-olds in our current culture, because we don't have a culture that thinks about the uniqueness of teenagers. We don't teach them to think this way. There's no support for it. There's all this cultural pressure. So I applaud you for calling, number one. But number two, it is the rare 16-year-old that can identify a career path in our current culture. So I think you're doing the right things. The fact that you're kicking the tires and trying to figure it out. Fascinating to know about the career quizzes that you've taken. Give me a couple.
Oh, off the top of my head, I can't remember, Googling.
Any ideas?
What should I do?
Any ideas that came out of it that he was at least like, maybe, kind of?
There's some maybes. He scores really high in science and English. Mm-hmm. Math, not so much. And I think that's kind of a big part of what holds him back from, something like, say, an engineering or something like that. He loves cars. He loves things like that. Maybe mechanic, something like that. But it's like, is the money going to be there?
Okay. Well, we're thinking too hard now.
Okay.
Is he doing that or are you all doing that? Who's driving is the money there?
Yeah, he's doing that. Yeah. I mean, he definitely wants to support himself someday, support his
family.
Okay,
great. Love this.
Yeah.
All right. This is interesting. Good in science, not in math.
Yeah.
So as his mama, you know him better than anybody.
Yep.
What's the delineation there? Where in science is he gifted? What? Tell me what those specific skill sets in science, that he has that are manifesting in science and English. Give me both.
I don't know. It's just his always score, the Minnesota testing, all those kinds of things. Those are just always the high scores, whether it's biology or, chemistry, stuff like that. Those are just usually the higher ones. He's got very, good reading comprehension, all those kinds of things.
Okay. You're giving me the answer. So you do know. Don't say you don't know, Mama Bear. I can't help you if you don't tell me about your boy. And so what you're telling me is he's verbally gifted. He's got tremendous comprehension.
Yeah.
He reads something and he's a bit of a bibliography, right? It's like, okay. And the science piece, the biology and the chemistry. Now tell me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to get you to help me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing is, he's fascinated by how things are put together and how things can be combined.
Yes. Exactly.
So he's not very good in math because his brain isn't one of a kind of a logical problem solving. He's more intrigued by, in chemistry, I can do this and this and this with this combination. And then biology is all about how a human or animal body is put together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's intrigued by both of those things, true or false?
True. True.
Okay. So there are the clues.
Okay.
Okay. So we know what he's good at. You and your hubs could sit down and make a list of the things that he's really good at. True and false. Mm-hmm. Yeah. True or false?
True.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, true.
So I want you to make the list.
Okay.
And I want you to have him do the same, but I don't want you to show him your list.
Okay.
Say, hey, I want you to make a list of what you think you do best and not things that he's average at, above average or great.
Okay.
And here's what we want to do. You all make the same list. And then I want you to sit together, maybe have him have a coach or a maybe his biology teacher, chemistry, do the same thing. Here's what I want to do. I want this young man to see all of the patterns, all of the consistencies on his talents. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to give him a lot of clarity and confidence. It's going to verify some things for him. And I think it's going to give him a lot of confidence. All right. Now, what we really have to start to lock in on as a 16-year-old is the type of work that he might really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if he thinks that so if you told him today that he could make six figures, over $100,000 being a mechanic, how do you think he'd react to that?
I think he'd sign up for it on the spot.
That's what I think too. So this is where mom and dad have to come in and go, hey, we're going to make a couple connections for you and help you out. We're going to do some research with you. Mm-hmm. Turns out that you can make really good money as a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he sees the guy that comes out and gets the car when you drop your car off and he goes, that's not the life for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, he has no idea what that guy makes, number one.
Right.
Number two, you have to show him a ladder within the mechanical world.
Mm-hmm.
So he may not have to get his engineering degree, but if he starts working on cars and he gets really good at it and he takes some classes and some things like that and he gets really, really good and he goes and works for a couple master mechanics, he works his way up. He eventually owns his own shop. And not only is he a millionaire, he's paying other people six figures. I think what we've got to do for a 16-year-old is get him out there in the world. America was built on the apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And I think you guys need to give him the freedom to try some things. He's got the summer between his junior and senior year. I would do my best to maybe have him try a couple things for the first month. Maybe he works a couple weeks. And you guys help him here. And a mechanic goes, I understand. I may not be hiring him for the summer. He may decide to do so. But this kid wants to try this out. Kind of a two-week apprenticeship. Have him maybe work with a master carpenter, somebody who's building stuff.
Okay.
I would ask your kid, what do you want to build, put together? Like, what would you do if money weren't an object? If you knew you could make six figures, what are the top three things you're interested in? Get that list and get him out there on site, shadowing people that are doing this successfully.
Yeah.
And then let him see what his heart tells him. I think that's the approach.
Yeah. Okay, well, then we're headed in the right direction.
You are absolutely headed in the right direction. He needs to understand that he may not make $100,000 right out of high school.
Right.
But while all of his buddies are going to college trying to figure out what to do with their life, even if he's making 35 or 40 grand, show him how quickly he could bank that money up and in 3 years buy his own house.
Yeah.
You guys got to cast vision for him with real numbers. That's what this kid's actually thinking the right way. I love this.
Yeah, good, good.
Yep, that's it. You got
it? Well, thank you.
Yeah,
this is good. We'll try it.
Yeah, it'll work. It'll work. And can I just tell you, can I speak to parents for a second? This is the kind of thing you need to do, whether it's college or not. Okay, so let's say your kid is going, you know, I think I want to be a, I think I want to do physical therapy. And they go, but can I make enough money or whatever it is? You have to cast vision for them and show them 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. And then they can see it and they go, oh, I like doing it. Can I be successful? What's it going to take? And I cannot express to you the value of apprenticeship and trying stuff. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and at life. So excited that you're with us. The phone number, if you want to jump in, is 844-747-2577. You need to be following me on social media. If you are on Instagram, we got a great and vibrant community over there, at Ken Coleman. If you're on Facebook, just search for the Ken Coleman Show. Got a great, great community over there as well. Of course, we're on LinkedIn and Twitter. Ken Coleman is what you search for, and you can get us there. We'd love to have you join us. KenColeman.com is the website for a ton of free resources, and we have some great paid resources like my best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose, and you can bundle that with the Get Clear Career Assessment if you or a family member or a friend aren't quite sure what it is that you really want to do in your professional life. This assessment will help you identify multiple mountaintops. And then the book is the guide up the mountain. You can bundle those together, get them separate, kencoleman.com. Hey, great news coming at you. So I told you we're going to be bringing more of my friends and guests to you this year. And for you NPR and podcast junkies, if you know who Guy Raz is, he's a legendary interviewer. He's got a wildly popular podcast called How I Built This, where he sits with titans of industry and titans from all walks of life, and gets the backstory on how they built what they do. And he had me on his popular podcast, View from the Top, which is behind a paywall. And I'm going to flip the tables on him and interview him. It's going to be great. Coming up on Wednesday, it's 2 days from now. If you are looking for appointment television, Guy Raz joins us Wednesday on the show. So we're excited about that. All right, so the world at work has changed dramatically. And one of the changes that has been talked about, it's we're saying it's coming down the pike, it's going to make massive changes for you, we've heard this from you folks, is the mandatory vaccine, and yet all of a sudden the brakes are being applied. Let's get to it in the news. All right, this is from the New York Times. The headline is Whiplash on the U.S. Vaccine Mandate Leaves Employers Totally Confused. No duh. So in November, just kind of give you an update on the landscape here. In November, the Biden administration made it pretty darn clear. Large employers were going to be required to get all of their workers fully vaccinated. And I believe it's not listed here in the article, but I believe that was companies with 500 employees or more, I think was the distinction. Okay. And obviously that came out. Depend on what side of the aisle you're on politically, where you are at on all this medical and science stuff, it caused quite a ruckus. Well, within minutes of the Biden administration announcing this, that it was going to go through OSHA, there were lawsuits being filed, you know, legislators getting involved. And so if you've been paying attention to the news, arguments have already taken place. As we talk today, arguments have already gone before the Supreme Court as to the constitutionality of this being administered and regulated through OSHA. And so this is a really kind of a platonic, platonic football. I mean, it's just nuclear. And as a result, it's creating a lot of confusion for employers because they're going, if this is going to be mandated, we got to figure out how we do this. Aaron McLaughlin is quoted in this article, an employment lawyer, said, my clients are totally confused, and frankly, so am I. My sense is that there are a lot of employers scrambling to try and put the mandate programs in place. But now, you know, if the Supreme Court rules on this thing, and they're going to, this thing could look so many different ways. How will the Biden administration pivot if the Supreme Court says, hey, this is not constitutional? And there's testing shortages on top of that. By the way, my wife surprised me over the holiday. She said, hey, we're going to go see Dave Barnes at the Skirmerhorn down in Nashville. By the way, we went. It was fantastic. But Nashville, like a lot of American cities in their venues, have said you got to have a vaccine. Or a negative COVID test. And so I had to scramble. I had to scramble to go get a test. You know how hard that was? I'm not kidding you. I thought I was on a scavenger hunt in my high school youth group. It was unbelievable. So here's my point. I'm just commenting on that testing shortages. This is real. So companies are going, okay, how do we do this? Because if there's not a vaccine, then we got to do the testing and all the kind of things. It's crazy. So, and on top of this, the federal government putting out a mandate. States and cities have their own vaccine rules, some more stringent than the federal government's. And then are they going to mandate booster shots? So here's my point in bringing this up. If you're a small business owner, or you are an employee and you are being forced. By the way, I got a phone call this week from a friend of mine who lost his job because he did not feel comfortable getting the vaccine. Here's the deal. And everybody chill out right now. You people don't listen. You people that are pro-vaccine, you take shots at me on Instagram. First of all, I don't really give a crap. But secondly, all I'm doing is reporting the news. This is the news. This is not my opinion. There are people on both sides of the aisle. They're just not going to get it. And I'm telling you, people are losing their jobs over this. Now, spare me the self-righteous opinion on, oh, he should have lost his job. No, hey, would you shut up? That's my friend. My friend lost his freaking job because he's an American and he can decide what he wants to put in his body. So if you don't like that, guess what? You're an American. I love that you don't like it. And I love that you have an opinion. Spare me the hate mail because I don't see it. I'll say it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I tell Joe and Alex and Amanda, don't even show me the hate. It immediately goes into the digital trash can. That's where it goes. So for those of you who think that you're going to fire some shot at me and show me something, hey, right here, that's where it goes. In the digital trash can. How about that? I'm not interested in fighting over it. I'll tell you what I am interested in is telling you how this stuff affects you. And so you can't talk about this, by the way, without not talking about the financial component. Okay, so what happens if the Supreme Court holds this thing up and this goes into full effect? I want to talk about that because it's possible. What do you do? Ken, I don't have an emergency fund. That's going to take care of 3 months or 6 months. What do I do? Well, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You start planning for the worst now. One of the major factors of the Great Resignation, where we've seen almost 20 million people leave their jobs from August to November. We haven't even seen December numbers. I fully suspect that when the December job numbers come out, we're going to see another 4 million people leave, which means we're going to be at 24 million people leaving their jobs. But we've got 10.3 million jobs available, 8.9 people unemployed. Where's the gap? Here's what we're seeing. People are starting their businesses. They're going, I'm not going to go back to the restaurant and sling plates. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what they're saying? They're going, I'm going to go work for myself. And so listen, there's never been a better time. If you feel that that's coming and you don't have the emergency fund, you better ride this wave. Go work for somebody who's not going to make you do it. There's one option. Here's another option. Start the side hustle today. Get two side hustles. Three or four part-time jobs. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do to not just survive, but to thrive. And this is where we stand. People right now, in America, being forced to choose. And I know it's a sensitive issue. And again, I respect you. If you think that you need to get it, great. I respect you. If you think you don't need to get it, great. I don't care. It's none of my freaking business is my position. By the way, when I say that, drives people nuts. People go, as a person of authority, you should be telling people what they should do medically. I'm not a doctor, but I am the host of the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Can't tell you how much I enjoyed holding up that trash can on the air live. That was fun. Always say it's the little things for broadcasters. Just little things we like to do different every once in a while. Hey, we're here to help you win in your work and in your life. Let's get back to the phones. 844-747-2577. It is your show. I am here for you, your counselor, coach, cheerleader. I should throw bartender in there, but there's no exchange of beverages going on. But essentially, I'm the bartender with a little bit of experience. You know what I need? I need a towel. When we go to calls, I need the classic bartender towel over the shoulder and a glass and maybe a mixer. You know what I mean? That'd be kind of fun. I jest. Andrew joins us in Manchester, New Hampshire. Andrew, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Andrew. What's going on?
So my current job, I've had a couple contract disputes, and I was just wanting to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, go for it. What can I jump in on?
So when I signed this offer with my current company, they said in the offer letter, I'd accrue one vacation day per month. And recently I found out in the handbook, they have a, what would you call it? A caveat that you can only accrue up to 80 hours per year. And in the offer letter, they put a link to the handbook, which states that caveat, but it was not in the signed offer letter. So I kind of felt misled.
Okay, so hold on. I want to make sure I understand here. So in your offer letter, they said you would get one vacation day a month.
Yep.
So 12 vacation days in a year.
Correct.
Okay, and then explain the 80 hours piece.
Sure. So then they put a link to the handbook, which says you can only accrue up to 80 hours, so 10 days per year. So it's kind of...
Yeah, it's like they took two days away.
Yeah, essentially. But that was not the impression I got when I signed the offer.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked to anybody? Go ahead. You keep going with your question. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, at the end of the day, they linked the handbook, and I should have gone through it all to make sure it was all correct, but I just feel like more could have been done, and I feel like I was misled in the way.
Oh, listen, this is. Can I just tell you something right now?
Yeah.
This isn't on you. I mean, they spelled out in an offer letter that you get 12 days. I don't give a crap if they put a link to the Library of Congress in there. There is confusion that they've created. So now this gets down to, well, what's the letter of the law? Like, what rules here, right? So is it, what's binding? Is it the specific offer letter? Or is it the link to the handbook where the handbook says you're maxed out at 80 hours? Like, the handbook could be old. Have you talked to anybody about this, leader or coworkers? Is this a misprint? Like, where are we at right now on this particular issue? You talk to anybody about it?
Yep. My manager is kind of on my side, found it misleading, and HR director admitted it was a mistake on her part.
What was the mistake? CFO, the mistake was
not to include the caveat of only accruing up to 80 hours.
It's not a caveat. It's a straight, like, it's not a caveat. It's literally, the handbook says no one can get more than 80 hours of vacation.
Yeah,
no one.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's not a caveat. It's like literally going white versus black. Like, I think this is white, this is black. There's no gray area here. There's no caveat. Am I right?
No, you make a good point.
So is it a true mistake on their part? Like, they put in the 12 and nobody gets 12? They just accidentally put it in there? The HR director put it in wrong?
I believe that was what happened. And then the CFO decided to enforce it by the handbook.
Right. Okay. So in this case, I don't think you have any recourse at all, because what they are saying is the handbook is the rule. Nobody else gets 12. It was literally a clerical or snafu, right?
Yeah, that would be how it's going down.
Well, but it's true. Sounds like it's true to me. Sounds like nobody gets 12 days.
Yep, and you'd be right, but I guess it just doesn't feel...
No, it's a mistake.
I feel like I've been misled.
Well, either you were misled. I don't think you were misled, because nobody gets 12 days. It's clearly an error.
Okay.
So listen, it sucks, because you thought you were getting 12, you're getting 10. But nobody gets 12, so they're not mistreating you, nor are they misleading you. It's just she blew it. Give her some grace. I appreciate the call, but look, it is what it is. Be a big boy and decide what you want to do. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you're here with us. We're coming to you from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. If you're ever in the Music City or parts around, we're only about, I'd say from here, about 22, 23 minutes due south of Nash Vegas, the capital of bachelorette parties. By the way, I had heard this. And, you know, I'm in a season of life where Friday, Saturday night, downtown Nashville doesn't happen often. You know what I mean? I'm saying it's a season of life. It's just, I'm boring. It's very few times I'm going to go down to Nashville. I love Nashville. It's fantastic. But anyway, we went down recently. Some friends were in town, wanted to see it. And I had kind of heard that factoid and kind of forgot about it. There were bachelorette parties everywhere. You can't walk 30 yards without seeing one, bumping into one, or watching them pedal down Broad Street. By the way, while I'm on it, while I'm being distracted, if I want to go enjoy any city in America, I'm not going to pedal while I have a beverage. These things are very popular in Nashville. I don't know if they're popular anywhere else. I haven't seen them anywhere else, but it's like a big giant... Picture like a big giant wagon that you'd pull in the back of a tractor. It's got a roof on it, and people are sitting all around it, and people are pedaling to make the thing go forward while they sit at a bar seat. So they're sitting at a bar seat having a beverage, and they're pedaling to make the thing go forward. And every time I see it, I go, it's too much work. Why do I want to pedal while I'm having a beverage? I don't know. Just me. There we go. Hey, this is the time to move. I'm telling my audience, you got to move. This time, if you want to cash in, it is a job seeker's market. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. And last year confirmed all of that. So here's the deal. If you want to move, this is the year. And I don't think it's as difficult as you think it is. ZipRecruiter can help. They're my good friends. They're helping a lot of you here on the Ken Coleman Show. They send you the right jobs, and you can apply to these jobs with one click. They may even send you a job that you never even realized was out there that you were qualified for. And companies are raring and ready to go to interview you. So sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's the best way to get hired. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, let's get to it. We've been doing this in the month of January. Big month. A lot of people getting hired, and more people get hired in the month of January than any other month of the year. So we're bringing you our daily job tip. Here it is, the job tip of the day. Amy from Facebook writes in, Ken, my job search is finally paying off and I currently have 3 opportunities in process. My question is, how much do I tell each prospective employer about my other prospects? If we move into phase 2 of the hiring process for each job, but at least one of them is going to involve additional interviews. Any advice on navigating this phase of the job search? Later's better, in my opinion. I mean, if you're in the early stages of interview process with 3 people, I don't think it makes any sense to tell them about the other ones. Now, if we get to advanced stages and we've got one offer that has just come to us, and then we have, we're in deep in the process, we think we're about to get another offer, I would say, hey, full disclosure, I've been in this process. I've got one offer that I'm considering, and now I've got to take one. So that's what I would do. I would wait till late in the process to let them know. And don't over leverage this. Just let them know. Good question, Amy. I love that. By the way, Amy's situation is not abnormal at all. I mean, we're getting updates from listeners all the time, viewers telling us, hey, Ken, I got multiple offers. Never had more offers in my life. So good on you. All right, let's go to Bloomington, Illinois. Dominique is joining us there. Dominique, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
Well, a little bit about me. I'm a single mom of two small children, and right now I'm unemployed, so I'm trying to get clarity on what my next step should be.
Okay. All right. How can I help? You have some ideas, things you've been thinking about, and you're just not quite sure how to get there? I mean, what's the struggle? What's the biggest challenge for you?
Well, I took your assessment.
Oh, good.
And I guess I was just looking for information about what I should pursue. I should pursue my purpose or if I should pursue a regular job.
Well, it might be both.
Okay.
And many times it's both, because we may need a day job just to take care of you and those babies and give us some stability if we know what we want to do and we know we're going to have to get qualified, and that's going to cost time and money, correct?
Correct.
So it's rare that anybody takes my assessment or, quite frankly, gets clear on the show or without me or not and goes, oh, I can step right into the dream job. The dream job is something that usually takes time. Nobody just steps into this. It's not like, oh, there it is, and I'm going to step into it. It doesn't happen that way. So In your situation, you're going to have a day job anyway, because it's going to be hard for you, Mama, to focus on the dream if you're just trying to survive and take care of those sweet, precious babies, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So what did your so when you got your purpose statement, you took the Get Clear Career Assessment, and it spits out your top three talents, your top three passions, work you love, and it tells you what your primary missional driver is. What's your motivator at work? And it puts it in a purpose statement. When you read it the first time, how did it feel? Did it feel like it got you pretty good?
Yes, I agree with it very much.
Okay, so we've had people call the show who've taken the assessment like you, and they go, Ken, I need some specific ideas, which begs the question, why didn't I put that in the assessment? Because it's impossible. Right? Like I can't tell you the perfect job. I can describe what talents you'll be using. There's no perfect job. I can't tell you exactly what the dream job is. Now, we give you professional possibilities. We try to give you some prompts. When you got that report, was there anything in there that intrigued you or felt like, there's some interest here, above average interest? Anything?
Well, I like that it says that I enjoy service. My mission is service.
Yes, but when you got your professional possibilities, you remember that part of the assessment? Where we make some suggested jobs? Was there anything that stood out to you?
The health and fitness part.
Why health and fitness? Why are you interested in health and fitness?
I guess because I've been on a health food journey where I've been learning more about foods and the different things that they do for your body.
Interesting.
And I just love to help people.
Yeah. Which,
eat,
by the way,
better.
That's why you got the primary missional driver of service. Of the six missional drivers, you scored highest on service. I'm curious to know what your top three passions were. We call passion work you love to do. There's 15 of them, universal, that you could kind of bucket all work into. What were your top three passions?
It was advising, teaching, and caregiving.
What? You got to be kidding me. Advising, teaching, and caregiving. And someone who's interested in health and fitness, what kind of jobs would somebody who's really in love with advising, teaching, and caregiving, motivated by serving others, kind of a job or two or three pops in your mind in the health and fitness area?
I guess maybe a nutritionist.
Yes, don't say that like you don't know. Does a nutritionist advise people?
Yes, they do.
Does a nutritionist teach people?
Yes, they do.
Does a nutritionist take care of people in those acts?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. What's another one? Give me another health and fitness job, real quick. Top of mind, go.
A personal trainer, I guess.
Yes. Does a personal trainer advise people?
Yes, they do.
Does a personal trainer teach people?
Yes, they do.
Does a personal trainer give care to people?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you called me and told me you needed help with ideas. No, you didn't. You just needed me to give you permission, which you don't need that either from me, to be you. So here's what I want you to do. I just gave you, all I did was ask you questions. You came up with the two good ideas. There's more. Here's what you do. Take the purpose statement, and I want you to look at all kinds of jobs in the health and fitness arena. And when you look at those job descriptions, I want you to also scan back down at your purpose statement. And your purpose statement needs to validate, clarify that those job descriptions match up with the purpose statement. And that's how you know that it's something that you would really enjoy. You got this, Dominique. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.